You are Locked On Timberwolves, your daily Minnesota Timberwolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello and welcome to the Locked On Wolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. My name is Ben Beacon. I'm the host of Locked On Wolves. I'm also the co-editor of Dunking with Wolves, the Timberwolves site on the Fansided Network. Today's episode is brought to us by the live NBA Draft Show. NBA Draft GOAT Chad Ford, Locked On NBA Draft host Rafael Barlow, and Locked On NBA host John Corrales will be live this year covering the NBA Draft. It's Locked On NBA Draft 2021, brought to you by Built Bar. Get local expert analysis on each pick. Follow Locked On NBA on YouTube today and watch our live coverage on July 9th at 7 p.m. Eastern. That, of course, is 6 p.m. Central. Happy Tuesday, everybody, and happy Game 6 of the NBA Finals Day. Tonight, Phoenix is back in Milwaukee, trailing the series 3-2. That game tips at 8 p.m. Central on ABC, so we'll talk about that on Wednesday's show, but fantastic basketball this evening. Today's show is going to be primarily part two of my interview with Jake Painting of Canis Hoopus and the Paint Points podcast, talking about Leandro Bolmaro. And today's conversation is mostly about the rotation, what Bolmaro might due to the Wolves' flexibility this offseason. Does that make, you know, some of the other players on the roster more tradable? What would, if the season started today, what would Bolmaro's role be on the team, et cetera? So that'll be most of today's show. I wanted to hit a couple of really quick notes here in just a second off the top, and then we'll launch into the rest of the conversation with Jake. First of all, as always, a reminder, you can follow the show anywhere you listen to podcasts. That's including Google, Spotify, Apple, and of course, the all-new Odyssey app. You can also follow the show on Twitter at LockedOnTWolves and also at BBeacon. That's BBeacon with two Bs, two Es, C-K-E-N. Okay, couple of quick notes. First of all, Zach LaVine, a former Timberwolves player, is not on the U.S. Olympic flight to Tokyo, according to some Brian Windhorst reporting from, I guess that would have been from Monday afternoon. The Team USA is now, it's due to health and safety protocols, by the way. There's no indication he's tested positive. They're saying there's a statement the USA Basketball put out saying that they hope he'll join the team later this week. I mean, there's only eight guys that are traveling with the team because it's LaVine, and then it's three guys who are playing in the finals and will join the team either after Tuesday's game or after Thursday's game, depending on who wins. Chris Middleton, Drew Holiday, and Devin Booker. And now, I mean, there's just not very many perimeter guys, right? I mean, Keldon Johnson was just added to the team, and now he's going to get really heavy minutes. And he played well in the exhibition against Spain on Sunday, but traveling eight guys is never ideal for any basketball team, especially when you're traveling overseas to play in a tournament like this. You know, a lot of games in a relatively short amount of time. And it's not great. You know, what happens if those guys can't join until 24 hours before the first play-in game, or the first pool game, I should say, on Sunday? I mean, because the last game of the finals Thursday. So if those guys leave Friday, they're going to get there Saturday. And that's going to be quick. There's no acclimation period. So hopefully Zach's healthy and he's able to get there soon. And hopefully the rest of the guys playing in the finals will get acclimated to the team and the time zone and all that stuff quickly, because it's going to happen fast. And the first game's against France. So it's not, I mean, obviously the Team USA should beat France, but France isn't a walk in the park. I mean, they've got Rudy Gobert, right? So Team USA is going to have their work cut out for them, to say the least. The other thing is good news related to the Olympics. Juancho Hernan Gomez is on Spain's Olympic roster. He had been ruled out just like less than 2 weeks ago because of his shoulder injury. That's apparently a grade 4 or 5 dislocation. And that was reporting by Dane Moore of the Dane Moore podcast. And based on everything we'd seen about the timeline of those injuries, if he had had surgery, which seemed likely, there was even a chance he'd be hindered into the start of the Timberwolves season next year. But apparently he didn't have surgery. The Timberwolves still haven't issued an update on his status, but the statement from Spain basically said that, or it did say that they've worked well with the Timberwolves training staff and medical staff, and they've cleared him to play. So he was in uniform actually during the exhibition on Sunday. So there's a chance he appears in Olympic games, which means that we were all off base about his potential availability at the start of the season, the Timberwolves season here this fall. So great news there. and hopefully Wacho can stay healthy. Okay, without further ado, let's get into the conversation with Jake Painting from Canis Hoopus and also from the Paint Points podcast. Of course, part one was on Monday, so if you missed it, go back and check it out. The rest of this conversation is very Wolves-centric and not as much about the Olympics, so let's go ahead and get back into that conversation. All right. So shifting gears a little bit back to the Timberwolves and the Wolves roster, and this is still through the lens of what Bomaro could bring to the Wolves next year. It seems like we mostly know, you know, barring a blockbuster trade, which is certainly possible. And I've talked a lot on the show about, you know, the Timberwolves are probably one of the more serious contenders for Ben Simmons and obviously Miles Turner and John Collins and some of these other names that have been out there, and the Wolves are going to try, but it's always more likely than not that a blockbuster doesn't happen. And if that's the case, the Wolves don't have any draft picks. They have basically no cap space. They're going to add a guy probably with the mid-level exception, but that's going to be about it. You know, Jared Vanderbilt and Jordan McLaughlin are restricted free agents. But for the most part, we think we know what this roster is going to look like here when they break camp in, believe it or not, like 3 months. So if it's basically the existing roster, maybe plus or minus a guy, what kind of a role does Bomaro have? Does he break the rotation almost immediately? Does he kind of become, you know, kind of on the fringes of the rotation, kind of like what Jake Layman was maybe towards the end of last year, where he's your 10th or 11th guy and they try and kind of ease him in? I think that's probably where he starts, but what kind of role does he fill? You know, longer term, I see in my mind, I think he's a great fit with D'Angelo Russell potentially on both ends of the floor, covering for his deficiencies defensively and helping him, you know, allowing D'Lo to play off the ball a little bit more offensively. But if you look at the Wolves roster and you look at Bomaro, what is it that he brings that allows him to kind of slot into the rotation sooner rather than later?
Yeah, I think that it's tough because we obviously don't know how this rotation's going to shake out. And I think if Ricky Rubio and Malik Beasley end up on another team, which is entirely possible, I think that probably is the route to open up some sort of minutes for him. Then, of course, he's going to have guys like Jalen Noel to contend with. I think that, like you said, is where he's at right now. He's kind of that 10th, 11th, 12th man, the guy who gets minutes if there's an injury or if there's a trade that brings back one player while sending out two or three. I think that, like we've spoken about, his role to a rotation player is through his defense, just the same as it was with Jaden McDaniels. This team obviously lacks defenders and needs guys who can push down that defensive rating and kind of get out of that bottom five. And he's the kind of guy who can help that, but he needs to be able to show it straight away. And that's going to be tough for him in a new environment and a new country. But I do think that if he can come in Summer League, if he is playing Summer League, I know he's not officially signed to the team yet, so we don't know how that'll work, but if he plays Summer League and then training camp and really makes an imprint defensively, I think we might see him get, you know, 10 minutes a night maybe as a backup combo guard or even a wing, like a playing as a small forward in smaller lineups, because he is a big dude. He is 6'7", so he can guard up a few positions, but yeah, his defense is the path for him to become a rotation player immediately. If that's going to translate or not straight away, we don't know. But if it does, I think we will see him get a few minutes because Chris Finch, I think, more than anyone would know that this team needs capable defenders, and especially guys who can make an effort and make a difference at the point of attack. So that's where I'm seeing, if he can get minutes, that's where I'm seeing them come.
Yeah, and frankly, I mean, like you mentioned, if he does come over, and if he's able to play Summer League, which is, I guess, a big if at this point, but if he's able to do that and participate in training camp and all that stuff as we get into the fall, and he shows that he has the ability to defend at the NBA level and be solid offensively, he's got so much more offensive upside and more, honestly, almost surely more offensive ability now as we sit here today at the NBA level than, say, Josh Okogie does. That might make trading a Josh Okogie as part of a larger deal, you know, potentially to free up a roster spot. Or I believe Okogie's got some positive trade value because I think teams know he's a plus defender. It might make it easier to trade a guy like Okogie, and you've got clearly more years of control for Bomaro, more upside even, even though Okogie's only like, I don't know, I think he just turned 23, but it feels like he's been on the team forever. And But anyway, I think whether that's adding to the rotation, and the Wolves need more defenders, so I don't know that it helps them that much to send out one of their best defenders and bring in another one, but it at least gives them some more options. Because as we said earlier, I mean, Okogie is really the only plus on-ball perimeter defender that you'd want guarding a ball handler. I mean, Jaden McDaniels is competent when he gets switched onto ball handlers, and Ricky Rubio does a good job overall. But they're just really limited. And whether that's adding Balmaro to the rotation or allowing them to move on from an Okogie, or I think they'd move on from Jarrett Culver anyway at this point. But I don't know. I think that that also could be a possibility, is that it gives them some flexibility to make some additional moves with the roster.
Yeah, and as much as I think that, like we said, his defense is the path to getting him minutes, I think what he can show offensively is the path to kind of him replacing a guy like Josh Okogie or replacing a guy like Ricky Rubio even. You know, it's if he can come in and he's a little bit better offensively straight away than maybe we think, his passing translates to a more spaced floor in the NBA, and there's way more transition opportunities in the NBA than there is in Spain and than there is in Europe. He's really good in transition, really fast, really smart in terms of making the right play on a fast break. If all those things kind of translate and he comes in and surprises us a little bit offensively, that's when I think maybe he does push a few guys kind of down the pecking order. And when he does that, those guys are probably more likely to come up in trade talks, you'd think.
Back to Jake in just a second, but first, this episode is brought to you by Rock Auto. With the ever-increasing numbers of makes and models, it's now impossible for your local chain auto parts store to stock all the parts you need. Why endure often pointless or seemingly intimidating questioning and wait while the person behind the counter orders the parts on their computer, choosing the only brand that their warehouse happens to carry? You have a computer with access to rockauto.com both at home and in your pocket. You can save time and money when using Rock Auto. Why would you spend 30%, 50%, even 100% more for the same parts from a chain store or car dealership? Rock Auto's a family business serving do-it-yourselfers for over 20 years. Their prices are reliably low for every single customer. Go explore their easy-to-use website today to find the solution to your auto part needs. Go to rockauto.com right now. See all the parts available for your car or truck. Write Locked On in their How Did You Hear About Us box so they know that we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. RockAuto.com. We talk about the defensive side of the ball, but I mean, on the offensive side of the ball, he's going to be much more similar to how, say, Ricky Rubio plays than how Josh Okogie plays. I mean, we saw this, especially with Chris Finch. He basically used Okogie like he was a power forward on offense, and then defensively he would guard. He would guard ball handlers and you know, basically the primary scorers on the opposition. And Balmaro is going to operate a lot more like Rubio offensively and not like Okogie, obviously. So it's not exactly apples to apples, but it also goes to show just how creative Chris Finch is as a head coach, I think, you know, based on what we've seen so far. But that'll be really intriguing to see. And also imagine a Wolves team that has a guy like Balmaro who could be you know, effective and maybe a plus on the offensive end of the floor and have Okogie on the floor at the same time. And you've got a couple of guys that can defend on the perimeter, and it really can help hide some of the deficiencies of D'Lo. And I want to talk about D'Lo quickly because I think, I mentioned this a minute ago. I really think that Balmaro is an intriguing fit with D'Angelo Russell. And I'm somebody who's been saying since the Wolves acquired D'Lo that I like D'Angelo Russell off the ball. And as a secondary, like he can be your ball handler. He can score. If you need a bucket, obviously we know he can score in isolation and he likes to do that, but he's such a good catch and shoot player that, you know, your offense is going to flow better if he's not the one initiating every time down the court. And he's still going to hit open, you know, he's going to knock down catch and shoot threes at a 38-39% clip. So if D'Lo and Balmaro are in the backcourt together, Balmaro is getting the tougher defensive assignment. He's like a bigger version of Ricky Rubio and a younger and frankly, more athletic version than Rubio defensively. And then on offense, if he can bring what Rubio does and shoot the ball better, you know, the Rubio D'Lo pairing hasn't been great. It improved a little at the end of last season, but overall it was pretty poor last year. And I think that Balmaro and Russell together might be what Gerson Rosas was hoping he was getting with Rubio and Russell together in the backcourt. Am I close there, do you think?
Yeah, I think so. And I think if you add in Anthony Edwards as well, that's three guys that can run pick and roll and can be virtually primary ball handlers in certain situations. And And that's really important. Like, for me, I'm a huge proponent of having multiple ball handlers on the court. And if you have three who can all pass, shoot, dribble, and then you throw in Karl-Anthony Towns, obviously, as well, and a guy like Jaden McDaniels who can space the floor, and Kat can clearly create for himself and create for others out of the post or from the top of the key as well. I think that's a really dynamic kind of archetype for a lineup. Bolmaro, obviously, you don't want to heap too much expectation on him to do that immediately, but in an ideal world, that's the kind of thing you're looking for, as a guy who can play on and off the ball as a shooter or as a pick and roll threat, and then kind of play defense in a way that allows D'Angelo Russell to hide a little bit on shooters rather than having to chase through picks all night and deal with the pick and roll defense. So I do like your idea, and I really do. I just think that there's also, we have to temper our expectations, because I do think he'll have, Bolmaro that is, will have a slightly slow start as he adjusts to the NBA kind of speed and athleticism and just the all-round differences to what he's been playing his whole life. But he's a quick learner, man. Like, and his development curve through the last three seasons has been pretty unreal. He was a guy who wasn't really on a lot of draft radars, and then he started to come on them a little bit. He ended up being a first-rounder, and now from every draft guy I speak to, and in my own opinion as well, I think he'd be pretty comfortable a first-rounder if he was being drafted this year, probably somewhere in like the 10 to 20 range. So his development curve is really exciting, and I think that's what holds him in good stead as he jumps into another kind of realm, which is the NBA league, and tries to navigate the challenges that come with that.
Yeah, and your point about the learning curve is well taken, because, I mean, that's true of, I mean, really any rookie, except for very rarely, right. You know, and even though he's playing professional basketball and has, he's still, what, I think, is he about to turn 20, or he just turned 20?
Yeah, I think freshly 20.
Yeah. So, I mean, yeah, like, that wouldn't be a surprise at all. I mean, it's hard to remember now, but Jaden McDaniels didn't play for the first few weeks, really, as a pro, and now everybody's...
And we didn't expect him to play at all for the season, kind of, before. So I think learning curves are definitely not an exact science, you know? Like, he could come in, and we've seen guys from Europe before, multiple over the last few years, kind of really come in and thrive in the NBA. Like, he's not going to be Luka Doncic, obviously, but... We've seen guys who have taken pretty large steps from Europe to the NBA, you know, in year one, and I think that has a lot to do with the space and the pace that comes with NBA basketball, where kind of Europe is more of a grinded out half court kind of style for 90% of the game. But if that's the hope, I guess, if you're expecting him to come in and have an impact right away. But there's obviously the chance that goes the other way, and he is quite a slow learner in such a new environment.
Back to Jake in just a second, but first, BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. Baseball season's in full swing, more than half over. In fact, you can track all the action at BetOnline, get all the latest news, odds, and information for all your sporting needs, including MLB, NBA, NHL, and all your UFC and MMA action. Before the next pitch, head over to BetOnline on your laptop or mobile device. Check out all the great sporting news, sign-up bonuses, and contest information. Don't sit on the sidelines anymore. This is your chance to get into the game as teams prep for their runs to the playoffs. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today. Receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit with the promo code LOCKEDON. Again, that's promo code LOCKEDON for a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. We touched on this, we both did, a little bit ago, but defensively too, I mean, he's had some foul trouble issues as it is, and games are officiated differently in the NBA. They just are. And I think people who maybe haven't watched a lot of international basketball will see that during the Olympics, that even in Olympic competition, games are officiated a little bit differently. And it's very difficult in the NBA to get over a screen without committing fouls. And, you know, I know that they're working through some of those rule changes potentially, or adjustments, I guess, to how officials are calling those, you know, the Trae Youngs of the world who are taking in James Harden, of course, and guys who are really good at drawing fouls in those situations. But still, that's going to be a learning curve for him if he's going to be an on-ball defender in the NBA. And we've seen this with other Both young players and also players that come from playing in Europe. I mean, Timberwolves fans will remember Nikola Pekovic was like his first year. He averaged like, it was something crazy, like 4.5 or 5 fouls per 36 minutes. I don't know if that's actually true, but something like that. And he got better as he got used to the NBA and learned, you know, how the officials here call games. And so that'll be part of the learning curve, as well as, you know, just learning the personnel, learning the playing style, as you said, the pace. I think that all that will work together to potentially, and, you know, who knows, but I think he'll have to ease into it in his first year, like almost any rookie does. And then hopefully as the year goes on, if things go according to plan, he'll get more comfortable and get more opportunities as well.
Yeah. Well, he averaged 4.1 fouls per 36 minutes in Liga ACB, which is the Spanish league play, and then 5.1 in the Euro League action. Yeah. So, yeah, like, he is foul prone. And I think a lot of that is because they really sent him out there to be a hound defensively, and I think they were kind of happy for him to pick up a cheap foul here and there, just because he was never going to play 36 minutes, and he was never kind of the guy who even finished big games. So I don't know how much that would change if he was kind of expected to be a little bit less aggressive in the aggregate in terms of, you know, in order to keep himself on the floor for longer. But it's definitely something that he needs to work on. I think a lot of that comes with strength as well. At times he kind of gets in the way of people and gets run over, and it makes it look like he's committing a foul, when really, if he had a bit more core strength, he might have been able to kind of absorb that contact and it wouldn't get called. But it's a learning curve, especially for a kid like him who is really, really super aggressive as a defender, a kind of Pat Beverley-esque defender, where he's going 100% all the time. He's really getting under guy's skin. That can be problematic in the NBA, especially as a rookie, and we know how rookies get called in the NBA. So I think it's good that at the start of his career, if he gets any minutes, it's probably going to be 10, 15 max, and you really don't have to worry about fouls impacting his game. But it'll also teach him in those 10, 15 minutes that he needs to be able to be better in terms of not committing fouls if he wants to be a guy who plays 25, 30, 35 minutes a game.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, great. Anything else, Jake, that we should talk about related to Bomaro and what, the Timberwolves rotation, anything that we haven't touched on that you feel like the people should know?
I don't think so. I think the main thing I've tried to preach this whole time is that we need to just temper our expectations a little bit. He's still not very good at creating his own shot, which is obviously a massive fault in terms of upside as a star. Like you said, I think more of a star in his role potentially is what he has, and really good role player. But I think that there should be a level of excitement for him. But as long as we give him, you know, the time that he needs, like we do with all young players, we like to get on them early if they don't live up to the expectations straight away. But I think that Bomaro is a guy, especially, who's had such a meteoric rise over in Spain that he needs to have that time to adjust to a different game. And I look forward to seeing him. I look forward to seeing if he can crack minutes over a guy like Jalen Noel. I think they're the two who will really be fighting for minutes after training camp. But, guys like Noel and Rubio, Jordan McLaughlin, like, that's, you know, that kind of role as a point guard or an off-ball guard, if he can crack minutes in there, I think we'll see a really good player and we'll see a really fun prospect. But it could take time. And I'm preparing myself more than anything, I think, to be a little bit disappointed in how long it takes him to develop.
Yeah, and that's a good point. We didn't really talk about the guys that he'll potentially be competing with for minutes. I mean, theoretically, Jarrett Culver would be in that conversation, but I think Jalen Noel is a bigger threat because, he's just a really good offensive player. He can score at all three levels and struggled defensively and is a little bit undersized, but at least for the role that I think they're going to want him to play. But that's a good point. I think Noel and Bomaro are going to be competing for some of the same minutes. I mean, I think we can push probably, you know, Jake Layman a little bit more out of the conversation. He's more of a four. There's not much upside there. Jared Vanderbilt may or may not be back, but he's a four, and we're looking at kind of the wing spot. And so it's going to be Noel. It's going to potentially be Culver, Okogie, obviously. Anthony Edwards, we know, is going to get his minutes. And how many 2 point guard type sets is Finch going to run with Rubio and Russell together, or is McLaughlin going to be back, or whoever the actual third point guard is, if it's not McLaughlin. The Noel thing is interesting to me because I've been a big fan of him, and I wanted him to start getting minutes before he did last year. And he had that like 4 to 6 week stretch where Noel did, where he was really, really good offensively. Yeah. And I think there's real upside there for him to be like a six man type, you know, kind of a volume scorer, but more efficiently than like your typical volume scorer. I think he could, there could be more there. You know, he shoots a lot of mid-range jumpers, but he's good at them, and he can also get fouled and he can make open threes. And so I think that's it'll be interesting to see if like at the start of the season, if that maybe ninth man in the rotation is a Noel who's got a little more experience, and the Wolves want to see like, hey, he's got a couple more years, I think, on a partially guaranteed deal. What do we have here in Noel? We know we've got a little more time to figure out Balmaro. Balmaro's got to get used to the league and the team. So maybe it is Noel early in the season who's getting those minutes. And depending on how that goes, that could dictate how quickly Balmaro gets a legit shot. Obviously, they're very different players, but are going to play a similar position at least on the team. So I think that'll be fascinating to watch.
Yeah, I think that's a good way to put it. Like, I think it's an aspect I probably hadn't thought about enough is that Balmaro, they probably think they have enough time to sit him on the bench and let him marinate a little bit longer before they feel like they're forced to give him minutes. Maybe they feel like that a little bit more with Noel, especially with the team option that he has after the end of the season. So they can really give him a run, see if he's worth playing or worth paying next season, and then give Balmaro more time to develop. I think, in general, in terms of both of those guys, the dominoes to fall are Rubio and Beasley. If those two guys are back, I think Noel and Balmaro have much more of an uphill battle to get consistent minutes, especially if they do decide to bring Malik Beasley off the bench and kind of balance out that starting lineup a little bit more with offense and defense. So if those two guys are back, and that means obviously there's no major Ben Simmons move or insert power forward or star player here. If those guys are back, I think I wouldn't be surprised if neither Noel or Balmaro in the rotation. But if those guys go out and they bring back a power forward in position for them, I can see those guys really duking it out in a training camp or summer league battle for that ninth, tenth man in the rotation spot.
Yeah, the million-dollar question this whole offseason is going to be, can Gerson Rosas pull off a blockbuster, which he no doubt is trying to do. And I've said before on the show that I don't think much happens around the edges. I think it's either a big move happens or nothing happens, basically, besides maybe like one free agent or something like that. But at any rate, well, great. Jake, where can everybody find you, and where can they listen and read your stuff?
Yeah, so I've got a few exciting things coming at the moment with my writing. It'll be on Canis Hoopers probably, so you can see that over there, obviously, SB Nation's Timberwolves blog. And then apart from that, you can listen to my podcast, Paint Points, which is PAYNT. You can listen to that on Apple Podcasts, all the places that you listen to your fantastic show. And then you can you know, find me on Twitter at Jake Painting. So yeah, come and drop me a line over there, and we can converse about Wolves whenever anyone wants. So yeah, that's where you can find me.
Awesome. And you were a writer over at Dunking with Wolves, where I've been for many years now.
I think you gave me my first opportunity to write. So
yeah,
maybe I owe all of this to you.
Maybe. Yeah. and a lot more to come, I'm sure. I mean, obviously you do fantastic work at Canis Hoopus and on your podcast. So, appreciate you coming on, Jake, and, would love to have you again sometime. And everybody go check out his stuff, and, thanks, Jake. We really appreciate it.
For sure. Thanks, man.
There you have it, Jake Painting of Canis Hoopus and the Paint Points podcast. Go check out all Jake's stuff. The Balmaro article was from a few weeks ago. It was like mid-late June. So be sure to go read that piece. It's a really great breakdown, and Jake goes a little bit more in depth on a couple of the things we talked about. So go check all that out. Otherwise, tonight, Game 6 of the NBA Finals. We'll talk about that on the show Wednesday, and then any additional Olympic news, anything like that, of course. And then the draft now is only a little over a week, 9 days away, a week from Thursday. So that's upcoming as well. And Olympics, of course, opening ceremonies Friday, first team USA game on Sunday. So there's lots to talk about. here upcoming. Also have a couple more guests scheduled to record over the weekend. So we'll have some more guests on the show next week as well. So stay tuned for that. That's all we have for you today here on the show. Of course, Locked On Wolves is part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Remember, the Locked On Network is all your local experts on the biggest stories. And there's no greater example of that than of this year's live NBA draft show, who, of course, presented today's episode of this podcast. NBA Draft GOAT Chad Ford, Locked On NBA Draft host Raphael Barlow, and Locked On NBA host John Corrales will be live this year covering the NBA Draft. It's on Locked On NBA Draft 2021, brought to you by Built Bar. Get local expert analysis on each pick. Follow Locked On NBA on YouTube today. Watch our live coverage on July 29th at 7 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Central. I am bummed that I'm not a part of that this year, unless the Timberwolves surprise everybody. Maybe I'll make an appearance if somehow they trade in to the... it's unlikely they trade into the first round, but you never know. I can hold out hope. We can all hold out hope. A reminder, you can follow this show anywhere you listen to podcasts. Of course, that includes Apple as well as Spotify, Google, and of course, the all-new Odyssey app. You can also follow on Twitter at Locked On T-Wolves and at B-Beacon. That's two B's, two E's, C-K-E-N. That's all we have for you today. We'll be back, of course, tomorrow. Enjoy Finals Game 6 tonight. Once again, I'm Ben Beacon. This is the Locked On Wolves podcast, and we'll catch you next time. A reminder, you can listen to the Ultimate Mock Draft 2021 presented by Locked On and Odyssey, featuring analysis from the GOAT of NBA mock drafts, Chad Ford, and Odyssey NBA experts Brian Scalabrine and former general manager Ryan McDonough. Our Locked On NBA local experts will make selections and trades for your favorite basketball teams throughout this week-long special event. Search the Ultimate Mock Draft 2021 on the new Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. Odyssey is your audio home for all the sports, podcasts, music, and news that matter to you. That's Odyssey, A-U-D-A-C-Y.